Hypocrites. You are all hypocrites. Hold on a second, you say. That word may apply to my Pharisaical classmate, of which I might add there are many, but not to me. I'm no hypocrite. Jesus says, you are. Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather. And there is. There are things that we know, things that come to us immediately. You look outside today and you know what's coming weather-wise. You don't even need to turn on the weather channel. It's obvious. Rain is on the way. The clouds rise in the west. The wind is from the south, bringing the warmth and moisture that will certainly bring storms later. You know that. I know that. But not only can you figure out the weather, you can figure out day-to-day life. I would venture to guess that, like me, you've got the future all planned out. You students know which professors test hard and which test easily, and so you arrange your schedules accordingly. You've got us all figured out. I might add, we have you all figured out pretty well, too. Around this time of year, I think especially of our fourth-year students, those of you counting down the days now till you receive your calls and finally shake the dust off your feet from this place. It's getting so close, you can almost taste it now. And you make your plans. You make your plans not only for yourself, but for how you will improve the life of your congregation. You've already figured out the order of your Bible studies for the first 5 years you're there. You know what they need first, a course on the liturgy. Secondly, one on the Book of Concord. You already know what your congregation needs, don't you? You've got it all figured out. You have them all figured out, even though you don't know who they are. You know immediately that these are the things you must do. So allow me to ask you a question. If you have the future all figured out, why can't you handle the present? Jesus says, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Why is it that you have the future under control, but your present is a mess? At every point, when you believe you have it all figured out, it all comes apart once more. More pointedly, you can arrange the things of this life, but when it comes to life as a Christian, you simply can't pull it off. You know what I mean. You say things like this, and I say them too. I am rededicating my life to Christ this day. I will live victoriously in the Spirit. I will be a good person. And all it takes is about 5 minutes for your wife, your children, or those Pharisaical classmates to rear their ugly heads once again and to lead you into sin. It's not my fault, it's them, you say once again. And then reality sets in. Sinful in thought, word, and deed. Almost immediately, for all your determination, you return quickly to your favorite sins. Why? Here's Jesus' punchline once more. You are a hypocrite. I hate that word. It's confrontational in the extreme. Applied to me, perhaps, far too often, at least as far as I'm concerned. But think about it for a second. We have a couple of ways of using this word, both of which are applicable, I think, in this situation. On the one hand, there is the familiar meaning of the word hypocrite. That is, one who puts on a mask one who puts on a false front, a liar, a fake, a charlatan, a fraud, somebody who purposefully deceives others. That's a familiar usage to us, and I think, as I said, it certainly applies here. But there's another meaning as well. Hypocrite, that word also has a deeper, more disconcerting meaning. It can also mean one who has fooled himself. A man who thinks he is one thing, when in truth he is another. As the psalm said just before, "For in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin." We work hard to convince ourselves that there's really not a problem in our lives, or perhaps that we're better than we really are. We have an amazing capacity for forgetting our own shortcomings. The easiest solution is to dwell on the shortcomings and faults of others. And then the words of Jesus from earlier in Luke chapter 12 come crashing down on us. Beware. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Are you still ready to say you're not a hypocrite? I'm not. Are you hiding anything from your friends, wife, professors, not only seeking to fool others, but spending time fooling yourself? Is it any wonder then that Jesus says you can't judge yourself? You are no decent judge of your own actions. Yes, he says, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? The simple reason is you can't. You won't. We actually don't want to judge ourselves. It is easier that way than having to look at the ugliness that is so often ourselves. Yet the Word of God reveals our hypocrisies. It shows us what we really and truly are. Then we hear this word. When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge, the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there until you have paid the very last mite. A terrifying word to a hypocrite. You won't get out until you pay the last penny. The good news, on the other hand, is that Christ has followed that path for you. He has walked the way. He has confronted the adversary. He has paid that last mite for you. In both Scripture and Luther's words, we hear, "It is not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death that the payment has been made in full by Christ." You may not know yourself. You may work to fool yourself, but Christ knows you. And in holy baptism, Christ came to you, his adversary, and he made peace. He freed you from the prison in which you had placed yourself. And the old evil foe, so determined to keep you for himself, no longer has any claim upon you. For God has placed his very name on you. You are not guilty of your sins. You are Christ's own. The God who knows your charades, your fraudulent activities to both friend and foe, and yes, even self, knows you, and now has called you by name. He knows even those sins, perhaps that one sin, that you will not tell anyone, not even yourself. Yet in Christ, that God has come near for you. He has uncovered that ugly sin, carried it himself, and paid for it once and for all. And in baptism, the righteousness of Christ is made your own. Hypocrites! I hate that word. In Christ, our hypocrisy is overcome. Our sham life becomes real. Hypocrisy is about things being not what they seem. In Christ, we see things as they really are. We see God as he truly is. In Christ, we see God as our loving Heavenly Father, for the Incarnate One shows us God himself. Since Christ has full atonement made and brought to us salvation, each Christian therefore may be glad and build on this foundation. Your grace alone, dear Lord, I plead. Your death is now my life indeed, for you have paid my ransom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.